start with item number 4, approval of the minutes of the regular business meeting of November 9th, 2015, and work study meeting of November 23rd, 2015. Do I have a motion? Mrs. DeLerba, seconded by Mrs. Joyce. All in favor? Motion carries. Item 5, approval of the treasurer's and business office financial reports and extracurricular fund report for October 2015. Do I have a motion? Mrs. Penne, seconded by Mrs. DeLerba. All in favor? Motion carries. Item 6, superintendent's report.
Okay, yes, good evening, everybody. We're going to begin our meeting tonight by recognizing some of our student musicians, and I do hope that they're here with us tonight. Unfortunately, some of them could not be here with us, but I'd like to bring up Mrs. Angela Turk, who is nicely gracing us again with her presence. I'd like to maybe turn it over to you if you want to say a few things, okay?
We had several students every year in Michigan and Simeon jointly host the High School All-County Festival. It's for 11th and 12th graders. Every high school in Suffolk County is eligible to nominate students. This year, Babylon had 7 students selected, which is a great number for a small district to represent us. So we're very proud. We had 7 students, 3 in the orchestra, and 4 singing in the different choirs. So we would like to bring them up.
Yes, the first 5 were the students who were participating in the Niskayne and Skamia High School All-County Festival. So if you're here, come on up and join us up here. We have Matthew Fama, who is here tonight. Next, we have Emmeline Gar. Olivia Lully.
Violin, one plays cello, they were in the string orchestra. This distinction marks them as among the top student musicians in New York State.
And I have to mention something. One of our board trustees who could not be with us tonight, Mrs. Altbacher, is very involved in something else this evening, but she sent me a quote and I want to read it. She quotes, "I had the pleasure of attending the New York State Music Association's All-State Conference in Rochester. It was a fantastic weekend of music making, professional development, and networking. This year, I had the pleasure of not only hearing my Long Beach students perform in the historic Eastman Theater, but Babylon students as well. Babylon students Scott Seguilla and Emma Schubert participated in the string orchestra. They represented Babylon very well. Their concert performance was impeccable. It was hard at times to believe they were not professionals. Congratulations to the students, their teachers, and their parents."
Both students are at a orchestra rehearsal, a Mayo orchestra rehearsal tonight, so they couldn't be here. So I will pass it on to them.
Give them a round of applause.
Okay, at this time we're going to have our student delegate report. I believe Denisha Madison is not here tonight, so we're going to have our assistant principal, Mr. Ryan, read the student delegate report. They've been very busy this last month, huh? Right?
Yes, they've been very busy. I'll be the stunt double for tonight, so upcoming events include, for $5, students will be able to send carolers to various homes throughout Babylon. Proceeds will go to the Morgan Center, a not-for-profit charitable organization. dedicated to providing preschool-aged children who are undergoing treatment for cancer the opportunity to interact and socialize in a safe environment. The caroling will take place on 12/20 from 3 to 5:30 p.m. We will also be offering a babysitting movie afternoon on December 18th from 3 to 5 p.m. The flyers have gone home to the elementary and grade schools. A gift wrapping service is also being offered at the high school as well throughout the month of December, where gifts will be wrapped for a small fee. In the art department, there are many cross-curricular interesting lessons going on in the art department. The 7th graders are currently creating nutcracker ceramic pieces. The 8th graders just finished creating mandalas using math and biology lessons on sand dollars. Studio 3 learned about different bridge construction and are now creating paintings of bridges. Studio 4 and 5 are analyzing work of past artists and contemporary artists and are working on artwork inspired by those artists. In the music department, 51 music students will be leaving for Florida this Friday for a 4-day trip. The Symphonic Winds and Jazz Ensemble will be performing at downtown Disney Springs, and the Cordettes will be participating in 2 performances of the Candlelight Processional at Epcot. In addition, all 3 groups will be mentored in 3-hour workshops run by Disney professional musicians. Follow at music for BHS on Twitter or Instagram for photos and updates from Disney. Lastly, physical education. Nancy O'Donnell was recognized as a 2015 Middle School PE Teacher of the Year at the Suffolk Zone PE Leadership Award Ceremony on 12/2. The Teacher of the Year Award honors individuals for excellence in teaching and overall performance in disciplines of physical education at the elementary, middle, and secondary levels, adaptive physical education, health education, and dance education. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's excellent. Just some brief updates around the district. Last month, we had members of our Leo and drama clubs who hosted more than 50 local senior citizens for dinner and a show back on November 5th. It was during that event that the Leo Club members served beverages, a delectable meal of baked ziti, and desserts to many of our seniors in the local neighborhood in town of Babylon. I know Mr. Cerrone and Mr. Ryan were there, and many of the staff members there. It was just really a wonderful event, and special thanks to the teachers and the Leo Club. You know, I was just down at the mansion over here, and they decorated Conklin House beautifully, you know, for the holidays. They do so much, you know, the Leo Club, so congratulations to them. I also wanted to mention that back in November, we had 6 senior athletes who signed national letters of intent to participate on collegiate sports teams, and they received athletic scholarships. Babylon Junior Senior High School principal, Mr. Cerrone, was with us, as well as Mr. DeJoseph, who was also along for a wonderful photo opportunity. And we had a total of 6 students. Shane Antolini will be attending Davidson College. We have Brian Bohm, who will be attending Stony Brook University. Shannon Hartigan will be attending Indiana University of Pennsylvania. Nicole Holder is going to Sacred Heart University. Megan Nierney, High Point University, and Sean Quigley, Binghamton University. So quite an accomplishment. Thank you, Mr. DeJoseph, for organizing that great signing event. Always an exciting time of the year, right? When that happens. For those of you who don't know, the district newsletter was published last month and should have been received into your mailboxes. And last week, some members of the Board of Education and I had the pleasure of going to the Western Suffolk BOCES annual dinner event. It's an annual event in which BOCES hosts component district board members and superintendents, and they showcase many of their career and technical programs. It was a wonderful event for those of you who were able to join us. It was just a great way for us to see our own students here at Babylon in their career and technical programs. The culinary kids in that program prepared a beautiful, beautiful dinner for everybody. I bet there were about, what, maybe 200 people in attendance,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I would think.
So thank you, board members who were able to join us. And then finally, tomorrow night, it's a small meeting. I am hosting a small get-together with all of the prior trustees of the district, all the old prior board members who will be coming in to meet us tomorrow night and have an update on the bond project from this last summer. They're wonderful advocates for our school district, and it will be interesting for them to see one another again. You know, they haven't seen each other in years. So it should be a nice get-together. So that's tomorrow night at 6:30, if any of our current board members wish to join us. Should be a nice get-together. They're real advocates for Babylon, and it's good to keep everybody involved, including people who served on the board at this table for many years. Thank you. Okay. So without further ado, I'm going to call up Mr. D'Amico. We have a brief presentation to show everybody tonight.
Can you hear me?
Lynn?
Ms. Rossi, do we have a performance tonight?
Yes, we do.
Oh.
We have Mr. Rossi here with the students.
Oh, great. How about you bring them in right now?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh,
thank
okay.
You.
Thank you.
Sashi House, come on up.
Good evening, everybody. All right, so I'd just like to introduce you to our two violin players this evening. We have Sachi Onishi and we have Alice Schubart. Sachi's in sixth grade. Alice is in fifth grade. And they're going to play three short duets for you this evening. They've been working very hard in their lessons. And these are two very talented young girls, violin players. And they put this music together just in a short few lessons. So, without saying much more, I would just like to thank our Board of Education for your continued service to the Babylon School District and to the Babylon community. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
take a photo. Let's get these out of the way.
Yeah. Gonna take a bath too.
Absolutely. We're gonna practice that. So we're gonna do it on the spot. Three. You just give a little bath. One, two, three.
You might want to turn them around.
He's blocking it, but I'm going to, you guys go a little bit over so we're not in here.
Linda, we're bringing this way. You're going to fade into the black.
Yeah. Just come, you can come right over here.
Make us look skinnier.
this way. Just a little bit, that's fine.
Make it
visible. I go up to that.
I'm going to go there.
No,
okay, just turn to me a little bit. Ready?
One, two, three.
Beautiful. Good. Thank you.
Here's a little taste of our music department. Just wonderful. Congratulations. Thank you. Moving along with the theme of instruction and learning. Back on November 5th, we had our second conference day with the teaching staff. And it was a great day of professional learning. And one of the themes this year is staff articulation within a building, within a grade level, all the way on up to articulate what's going on in the classroom so eventually that the transitions, the students are very smooth. So with that being said, we put together a little presentation for you set to music. I'm going to ask Mandy, are there lights in here that can go off in the back?
Yes, there are.
Can somebody turn some of the lights up this way you can enjoy it? And Mr. D'Amico, I want to thank Mr. D'Amico for all the hard work he did along with our directors and principals in making this conference day very successful. We have some teacher quotes throughout and principal quotes throughout the presentation. So hopefully you'll get a little bit of a taste of how the staff felt that they went collaboratively.
Thank you.
very much. We're going to move to item 7, committee reports, and we'll start with audit and sanity.
Thank you. Today, actually, European Smith, who are our internal auditors, they actually came in to do some field work for the 2015-16 cycle review, focusing on purchasing and related expenditures, reoccurring budget transfers, journal entries, bank reconciliations, payroll distributions. Also, some additional key control testing areas. This year will be extra classroom general funds and controls and disaster recovery. They will be back on January 6th to continue their field work. And the audit committee is going to meet at 6 o'clock at night on January 11th, which is a Monday, with Naroki and Smith. They will be present as well to share the reflections on the ongoing cycle review.
Thank you.
Finance,
Mrs.
George?
Thank you.
Thank you.
We met back in November for a brief meeting to kind of discuss the school lunch program, which we did address at our work study session. And our first official finance meeting towards budget preparation is January 25th.
I apologize, our food attendee one of these. Is it possible, I don't know how many other people were there, is it possible to come and update about the $40,000 and deficit and your planning to go? I know this is the subject of our work study, but maybe you always want to hear.
I can give some highlights and Dr. Gale, let's jump in, but
right.
You know, we did discuss that the current price per lunch is near the top of the range, so that wasn't really an avenue that we explore. We want to increase the prices. We talked about we do need to, the bottom line is that costs are fixed and rising, so we have to come up with some creative revenue ideas to increase, because the costs are not going to go down, the revenue needs to come up. So really focus a lot on 7 to 12. I know there's been some follow-up on the younger grades. We've had just discussions about the lunch program in general. We really just have to come up with some creativity, and we're talking about the fund balance transfer trial program for the next few years to kind of stem the tide of increasing funds.
Because this is the first year we have deficit, though.
We have a history in the past.
I mean, a couple of years ago we had.
I could get the handout that I provided for the group at the meeting.
That'd be great.
Where I had demonstrated based on the actual numbers at year end that in probably the past 9 years, I wouldn't say it's split, but we had probably 4 years out of the nine where we finished a year in a deficit position. But what we had been doing was we were maintaining a fairly healthy fund balance.
Right.
In the years that we replenished fund balance, obviously, those were good years. When in the years that we didn't, those were not good years, but we were, I'd say, use the term yo-yoing from year to year. And I explained a number of the challenging factors that we have been faced with and will continue to face relative to the expenses that we control, the expenses we don't. Some of the factors in the school environment, the school schedule, that mitigate against, profitability, the open campus being one, the nutritional requirements of the Healthy Hunger, the federal act. That
this was the biggest deficit we had in a while.
I can't necessarily say that to be the case.
Really?
I'd have, without the numbers in front of me, I can't say it hasn't been.
You said 6 o'clock on the 25th?
Yes, I think that's time set.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Okay, buildings and grounds.
First, just to mitigate any rumors that may be around town, no, the turf field was not damaged over the weekend. What happened was on Sunday, early Sunday morning, somebody drove a car through the fence over at Grove Place, went right through the fence, I guess realized what they had done once they went through the fence, hung a quick UE, and went out the way they came in. So no damage to turf, because I got a couple of calls last night. I saw Steve Pano and John from Ideal Fence on Sunday afternoon, and they had, by that point, repaired the fence. Thank you, Superintendent, for keeping us surprised of what had happened. One of the things that we might want to think about as a group is requesting that the village put some kind of stanchions, because until this happened, never even dawned on me somebody may drive through the fence, but if that's the case, we might want to put some things to block the fence, that street there, just to stop the car, because if somebody had gone through that fence when the field had been finished, we would have been talking about some serious damage and a lot of money to repair. So that's something to think about. I would like to do a building and groundings next week. If folks could let me know what their availability is, that would be great. To talk about, you know, some of the next steps and to reach out to Roger and SCC, see where we are in terms of the field project and the next steps for the row halls and the classrooms. Mrs. Ross, were you able to invite any of the facilities review committee members to the dinner tomorrow, or strictly former board members?
It was strictly former board members, yeah. But you know, we'll do another one in the spring to broaden the group.
Right. Fair enough? That group put a lot of time into it, so to let them see some of the fruits of this.
Absolutely.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Okay, great, thank you.
Technologies?
We have a meeting on Tuesday the 15th, which is next Tuesday, at 3:15 in the library.
Do you know what you're talking about?
I guess Carol will be giving us an update on the bond money and when we're going to get started. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, you say get started, we haven't even approved the plan.
What I mean by get started is get started on a plan.
Oh, okay.
The plan is Wi-Fi first. That's basically the plan. Okay. Once we all approve it, but that's what everyone has been saying.
Typically what happens through the technology committee, then we bring it to the board's attention before they can move off to the state.
So what we heard was everyone wants Wi-Fi first, so I'm assuming that's our first thing that we'll go out to do.
We're going to have a plan for it.
Of course. It'll be a plan, and then we'll bring it to the board. The board will say yes to it, and then it'll go from there.
Right.
Well, I'm not absorbing anything.
Okay.
Mrs. DeLarva, curriculum?
Curriculum committee is meeting January. The date escapes me at the moment. I'll write it down. But it's the 7th meeting. I don't know if you noticed. I was trying to find it on the live calendar yet.
January 11th.
January 11th, thank you. At 7 p.m.
Anything special on that?
No, I.
We'll probably start looking at one of our goals is to work on curriculum writing for the summer, develop some mini grants and a process for submitting proposals, and I'm sure we'll be getting started on that.
And Mrs. Alfacker is not with us.
I can give an update. The next policy committee meeting will be in January. It is Tuesday, January 5th at 3:15. We are looking at a concussion policy. We'll have a draft to review at that policy committee meeting, which will then go to the attention of the Board of Education in due time to look that over. We're pretty much moving along quite a lot on policies and updates with policies, so that's an update for that.
Okay, thank you.
Just a quick thing, because this is on the agenda, and I've got a typo in the paragraph of student relations organization. Win instead of in. I don't know if that was something you have to resubmit. Got out that way, so.
No, nothing.
It's a first reading.
There's a typing, typo.
So make it known in the minutes tonight, that we are fixing that.
Okay, great. Okay. So moving to item number 8. Do we have questions from visitors on the agenda items? Please approach the podium and state your name.
Good evening, Robert Stroh. Items number 5 and item number 11 I have questions about.
Okay.
Could you explain the associated course with items number 5?
Surely, yes. The associated cost with item number 5 is a stipend of $1,440.
Total or per? Or per line item?
Per line item for each person, yes.
And what's the date of the agreement for number 11?
Hold on, sir. Let me just get to that. Oh, okay, yes. Okay. Item number 11. Periodically, Mr. Stroh, the Board of Education is asked by a representative group to approve an employee-funded sick bank for a member of the unit that could benefit from that. What that means basically is teachers from the Teachers Association are willing to give up of their own generosity some of their used sick days to fund this. It does not cost the district anything. So basically, the Teachers Association is funding it.
So in other words, if they have extra days in the sick
Correct.
Bank and there's a member that's sick, they can donate for, you know, 5 days.
Or you got it, yes. That's what that is. Any other questions?
Robin Sylvester, district parent. I'm not a member. Is this the time where I can ask questions about the committee reports?
No. No, that's under other business.
End, right? Okay.
Thanks, Robin.
So it's only on the points 1 to 16.
1-16. Only agenda, yes. Yes. Thank you, Mrs. Sylvester.
Any other questions? Hearing no questions, the board discussion on the agenda items. Any questions from the board, comments? Okay. Hearing no questions or comments, do I have a motion to omnibus items 1 through 16 on the business agenda? Mrs. Zalerba, seconded by Mr. Bensavenga. All in favor? Motion carries. Do I have a motion to approve items 1 through 16 on the business agenda? Mr. Bensavenga, Mr. Montalto. All in favor? Motion carries. Which brings us to item 10, other board business. Okay, Ms. Razi, I know you have a couple of things to bring to our attention.
I do. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the before and after school program, have a little bit of a discussion about that with the board members at the table. I was asked to do some work in making a recommendation on that, which I did at one of our prior meetings. I'm making it again tonight. We have a program for a before and after school program. This was the first year that a before school program is being utilized by district parents. We currently have Scope as the provider. We've had Scope for a number of years. I know that program really well. That's neither here nor there, but I did look at the Scope program, the YMCA, and also the Babylon Town, and I really did a thorough analysis, which I gave the board a large spreadsheet at a prior meeting. With that being said, Scope did provide a parent survey. I did, you know, read all of those surveys. They came back strongly in favor from the current parents who are using the program. But then I took it a step further. I did reach out to the 13 families this year who are no longer in the program, who were in the program last year. We actually have more families in the program this year than we had last year. But out of the total number, there's 13 families that left and more families who came in. So the families who are currently in the program, I will tell you from what I'm seeing regarding results, they really do like the program. There are definitely things we have to address. And that's my job where I can pick up the phone and call over to Scope and say, you need to do this. All right, but I do want to give them that opportunity to make some simple changes. One of the simple changes among people currently in the program, the only thing that they mentioned to me was that they're not pleased with the afternoon snack. So that's something that, you know, I can pick up the phone and say, okay, we need to address this. Now, I called out to the 13 families from last year who were in the program, who were not in the program this year. And it was hard. A lot of them didn't call me back. There were a number of people who moved. I left messages with 5 families, did not get any return calls and tried again. So out of the 13 families, 5 did not respond. 3 were very positive about the program. They just said that their children aged out. Or, you know, they had a 5th or a 6th grader. They didn't want to go anymore, but they were happy with the program. 2 families moved. And then I had three negative responses, but the negative responses were pretty much the same in flavor. All of those three families loved the program at the K-2 school, and the 3-5 school, they had indicated an issue with one particular staff member they were not pleased with. Again, that's good information for me because I can go back to Scope now and see how we can help that staff member to improve. I also heard one other little comment that, you know, the grades 3-5 program, if they could spend a little more time on homework. But I was not hearing that from the current parents who are in the program this year. And you know, with these kind of programs, they do change staff from year to year. But it's good feedback for us because I can sit down with the people who run it and I can say, listen, we expect, you know, A, B, and C. So I'd like to make the recommendation that we stay with this program rather than pull the rug out because it will upset a lot of people out there who are currently using it. And I know Scope will make I will take those recommendations seriously. They work very well with school districts. I'm really happy that we have a before school program this year. So that's my recommendation to the board. No one called my office specifically with any concerns. I reached out to whoever I had. I tried to leave no stone unturned unless it was a family that didn't call me back, but excuse me, I did get that data, okay?
Any questions for Mrs. Elton?
Okay. I also want to talk about our work session last week. We talked about the school lunch program in general, and I want to recognize the Board of Education tonight because I do feel that, you know, the Board of Education, myself, Central Office, as well as parents who are here with us tonight, have a desire to always improve. So I'm going to begin by saying that. Last week I had the pleasure of sitting down with the K-6 PTA's Health and Wellness Subcommittee. This is a terrific group of parents. Some of them are here with us tonight. They have done 2 years of great work, and I think their voices represent the K-6 parent that we have here in Babylon. With that being said, I know many of them. I'm close with many of them. They gave me the opportunity to hear some of their concerns as well as suggestions regarding the K-6 school lunch. We didn't get into that much last time, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about the high school program, per se, because of, you know, that's where the numbers dip, where the kids leave, right? Leave school to go out for lunch. So we didn't really get into the K-6 discussion. But at that table, they also shared, you know, some good things that we want to keep doing. So we're all aware of improvements as well as, you know, moving forward. And in speaking with the ladies, they, from our work session last 2 weeks ago, we discussed at the table, maybe we should put out a parent survey to elementary. Well, they've done a lot of the legwork already. But they did take it a step further, as PTA can do, and they put together a survey through SurveyMonkey. And I believe we got we've received over 157 responses. Mm-hmm. And those responses represent, you know, core data, the way I look at it. It really does. These are parents relatively new to our school district. And, you know, now it's our job to take that through my office, continue working with them through my office, where I'll report back to you some of those services that I'd like to see, okay, as we move forward. I will be sitting down with the great people who work in our program and let them know and monitor that, and we'll just keep those open lines of communication going. Fair enough?
Sounds great.
Yeah, was that survey sent out to everyone?
Every K-6 parent, I believe, through the PTA site, right?
I didn't get it.
Everybody who's a PTA member or on the PTA database received it by email.
I get PTA stuff, but I didn't get that.
Okay.
I don't think my wife got it either.
I'll check the email.
100%.
We don't have that conversation with the community.
We'll get to the bottom of that.
Okay.
Any other questions?
So I can get my...
What's out of curiosity, so what's the action plan that we have in place?
Well, yes.
Check-ins and give some ideas.
Yes, there are so many good ideas. We've done a lot of things really here that have worked in the past that for some reason last year we dropped, which we can bring back. For example, food cannot be heated and served in plastic bags. You just don't do that. We have to address that. Many good things going on too, but I bring in from another district another pair of eyes of how it's done out there, and we just want to make it better for kids, because as Dr. Daly did a great job last time talking about the financial piece of everything, right? Why revenue has gone down because of the change in the regulations and increased personnel costs. What can we do to increase revenue? That's what we're looking at now. All right. So that's one thing. We'd like to, look at the possibility or capability of more home-cooked kinds of foods instead of processed prepared foods. Now, what does that look like regarding staffing? It might require a little extra time with the staff, but if we bring in more revenue, it could balance out. More fresh fruits and veggies instead of canned items. They made some great suggestions regarding, in lieu of carbonated drinks, sparkling flavored water, which I think a lot of kids right now are used to, or vitamin water through the use of their grant money. Again, we have to, hopefully these kind of things can work. This is something that was interesting. For years, we always had Tasteful Tuesdays, where a new menu item is introduced and voted upon by the students, and the winning items were incorporated into the menus. They used to do that here, in the last couple of years it was dropped, but it was a big revenue producer, I understand. Same thing with Lucky Tray Day. That was a day where the kids would, underneath their tray, they would get a little something noted and they'd win a prize. These are kind of things that are simple to bring back, right? Bring in revenue. They had some really nice suggestions, We talked about maybe a parent sampling day where we could invite the parents in to sample the foods to generate, this is good. I'll have my child buy lunch. Fruit sticks, veggie kebabs. They have some really good ideas. So it's a very positive group, and moving forward, we just want to make it even better. So I think what we'll do, they meet once a month, twice a month, whatever it is, but I'll be attending those meetings. And we'll keep the momentum going, okay? And I will be giving the board feedback.
So we're looking for immediate changes? It's going to take a little bit of time?
A little bit of both. Some of the things are so simple and immediate that they can change immediately.
Okay.
Other things, we talked last time about, looking into exploring whether the high school should be on the National School Lunch Program. We'll always have children on free and reduced, but being part of the National School Lunch Program could be an option for us not to belong to at the senior high level.
Mm-hmm.
This way, to keep the older kids on site, it makes us able to bring in, for example, maybe a local pizzeria to deliver, where we don't have to meet those strict guidelines. So, that's a long-term view.
Are they still at the grace? They just bring in the triage?
It's not 51% whole wheat.
But there's ways around that 51% whole wheat that we're starting to discover. So there's a lot of thought that still has to go into this, right? As we work together now as a team and make these nice suggestions become real. So with that said, I want to thank that group working with us very well, and we move forward. And we will report out later, to the board regarding, and hopefully we see, some revenue boosts, right? We also talked about, parent breakfast at the K-2 level and what we could do to entice more parents to join us, right? So there was a whole array of very good topics discussed, and I was very glad that I was invited to that. Thank you very much.
Just a quick comment, because I know the data came out in terms of the number of students at the 712 do not have a lunch period. It's pretty high. In ninth grade, it's 47 kids, which, Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, that's probably at least 30% of our ninth graders.
Mm-hmm.
or I should say that was the eighth grade, ninth grade was even along those lines. So even options in terms of revenue, since they don't have a lunch, if there's a cart in the hallway, I mean, I know that happens in some other schools, they don't have a lunch period. And it's a pretty big number. 47 eighth graders do not have a lunch period. And similar to that, and if they're choosing, obviously, because they're taking a demanding curriculum, but I mean, that's a big chunk of kids.
That could be impacting revenue. The fact that we don't sell coffee to kids anymore at the high school definitely impacted revenue. You know, sometimes a 17 or 18 year old wants a cup of coffee, right?
That sounds hot. I don't think it's that hot.
That's when the data came out.
That was Mrs. Leslie.
There's
close.
That was in the news.
That's looking at probably the eighth grade intro to science research, which is a lunch period. So that's 32 students right there. But they do go to the cafeteria the first 10 minutes of the period. So they go.
I'm just going to refrain the community from talking until we get to other business, but
the numbers were just high when they came, because we had asked for that at the work study.
And that is what you'll see in a lot of districts.
Right.
Okay, we're not unusual in that
right.
in that case. We
but
just have to, you know,
right.
yeah, you know, this building here, the 7 through 12 building, is a building that has, you know, has impacted the revenue coming in.
Right.
For reasons why we talked about last time, the kids go out, you know, so we have to find ways to bring them back in. Carol Ann and Mrs. Grodzki and I were talking about, you know, we have to sit down with Mr. Cerrone, obviously, with this too, but, you know, is there a way to keep the kitchen open June week of testing? I don't know. Is it logistically possible? I mean, there's little tweaks and things to look into that we have to look into, you know, just to boost this in the meantime, before these beautiful, the beautiful kitchen is updated, you know. Once that happens, we're talking, you know, food bars and you'll see a boost in revenue when that happens. But we have short-term goals and long-term goals.
Sandwich of the week, big hit.
Big hit.
Name it after a student.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Okay. So thank you for letting me jump in on this.
Any other board business? I'll take that as a no. Okay. All right, then we will move to item number 11, representatives of organizations. Please approach the podium and state your name.
First of all, Robert Shadelli, President of Bauhaus BTA. I think one of our issues is you let Mr. Goldberg go down to grade school so he can't buy his daily stack of little Spunkmeyer cookies from the cafeteria. So I think that had a little bit to do with it.
He was
just like to put that out there. I actually got some great news. I would just like to thank all the support for the first book. That book program. It turns out that Babylon, the amount of people we had registered, put us way over the top, and we were able to get probably 25,000 to 30,000 books to come. They're actually going to be delivered to North Babylon High School. So we're going to see some of the neediest students, you know, in Suffolk County, really just a couple of school districts here, being able to receive these books.
That's great.
It's a phenomenal, phenomenal feat, and because of the efforts that we've done. Instead of them sorting and doing whatever, they're actually just going to hand over a pallet to us of about 1,700 books.
That's great. Congratulations.
So, we already coordinated. It's going to be delivered here. So we were working out
we'll
a possible
it
truck.
Right.
It's actually going to be delivered. Mr. Davis is going to help us out with a pallet jack, and we're just going to store it quick. And then one of the ideas is to give some community service to some of the students in the clubs
great.
To help us sort by title, age, appropriateness, and whatnot. To be able to give to, you know, starting with our most needed students here, you know, maybe some Babylon families in need. We have there will be pre-K level books, so for the pre-K program we have here, we'll make sure they get some. And it seems that most of the reading levels will be like pre-K to ninth grade is the majority. So we'll see what the titles work out to be, but I think it's going to be a phenomenal thing that we can get started here. Hopefully we can maybe couple with the kick off the reading program we have.
Do we have a date for that?
Date for what?
When they'll be dropped off?
Thursday.
Thursday.
So it's great. So it should be a quick turnaround time to sorting. So again, we won't have to worry about storage. We're going to have those, and then we're going to try to get them into like the classrooms, you know, a box into, you know, each of the grade levels until we decide 100% exactly the best way to distribute them. Some of which we may do before the holidays, you know, for the holiday time. Others we may do to kick off some major readings, programs and stuff here to give those kids books to take home and use right away. So it's a great program. Thank you for your support. Also, back to that item 11 on that MOA, I really want to thank Linda, Peter, and Dan for taking the time to see me, you know, so quickly and discuss that and to get this all for a great cause. Linda Pesci, thank you again for, again, always your support for that, and the board for obviously entertaining that. I mean, going back to, you know, what it means to be a part of this Babylon family, and we see it growing more and more, and the professional support and respect that we're, you know, we're all seeing. You all know what it's about, so I just can't express my gratitude more. You know, it seems minor, but we know that this is something that is such a tremendous gesture to you. Well,
thank you
get the point, so just thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Robin Silvestri, Babylon K to 6 PTA president. We've been working on a couple of things this month as well. We did put out a health and wellness survey following the last work study meeting to get parents from the K to 6 level on their views on the food service in the K to 6 buildings. We see this as a huge opportunity to increase revenue for the school district, and by increasing revenue, maybe be able to improve the quality of the food that's served there. We love that you were able to attend our health and wellness committee meeting and be part of that conversation. And we look forward to continuing that conversation as a group. May hear some other views in the public section of the meeting tonight. Mm-hmm. We have launched our Farmigo online farmers market, which has been a big success so far. We've raised over $350, which means we sold over $3,500 worth of groceries in 3 weeks, which is pretty big. We plan to spend that money in the science lab at the elementary school, building a pizza garden up at the elementary school as well, and we've yet to determine what we're going to do at the grade school with some of the money. We have a couple of events coming up, including Polar Express on Friday. It's a free event for K-2, and the Holiday Breakfast on December 19th, which is also being offered this year as a free event to 450 members of our community to come down and just have breakfast and see Santa, possibly a mensch on the bench, and a snowman. We have PTA Basketball League starting up in January that we offer also K-6. And we recently hosted together at the grade school a parent hour code workshop, which was very informative and allowed us to demonstrate to parents the hour of code that each of their K-6 students will be receiving over the next couple of months. This week, actually, it's going on in the 3-6 buildings. The kids are learning to programming apps and learning how to build their own programs. We wanted parents to be able to see what that meant before the kids came home. So thanks to Mr. Goldberg for allowing that to happen. And that's it from K-6 PTA. We look forward to that continued lunch discussion. I think you'll see that it was, we sent out the survey. We had over 100 responses within 48 hours and an additional 58 responses for a total of 158 responses. Many of which were, which allowed open-ended comments. Mm-hmm. Ms. Dawson, I forwarded you a copy of the survey, and I hope you'll share that with the other board members. Mm-hmm. Anybody can see it at any time on the PTA website. It's posted on the homepage.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Are you an organization?
Oh, is that what we're doing?
No, I don't think there are anymore. I just want to be told there. You go ahead. Yeah. Any other organization?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to talk on behalf of our Health and Wellness Committee.
Sure. I'm just trying to keep us in order.
I'm sorry. I'm going
okay.
But no, not really. Mrs. Rossi, Heidi Durler, 69 Clinton Street, also talking on behalf of Health and Wellness Committee for PTA. Mrs. Rossi, thank you very much for attending our meeting during this week. I was asked to read something for Lisa Trocchio, who's my co-chair on this committee. Unfortunately, she was unable to attend as she is not feeling well tonight. So this is from Lisa, and Lisa's words. I serve as a co-chair on the Babylon K through 6 Health and Wellness Committee and have been actively pursuing ways to provide our children with better food options at the elementary and Memorial Grade School, along with my co-chair, Heidi Derler. I was surprised when Ms. Brodsky represented at the work study meeting.
We cannot, I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll
we cannot through. Use employee names.
Go ahead.
Or refer to.
Okay.
Okay.
Parents are concerned with the nutrition that their children are receiving. It is clear that the BOE is mainly and rightly so concerned about the bottom line as well as the nutritional aspect. The K through 6 community should not be overlooked when discussing bringing up revenue for the school. Ms. Rossi, I know you kind of went through all this, but you did ask me to read this. Parents and children are not fully satisfied with the lunch program. An overwhelming majority want fresh fruit, home-cooked meals for their children, not the processed, convenient, heat-and-serve items that are currently on the menu. She went through a personal thing, so I'm going to skip that. This is revenue that food service will now lose due to lack of good food, and it appears to be how at least 20% of our K through 6 community feels with the numbers sure to increase if there's no charge about something. Did she also send an email for that? According to our survey, most parents only utilize the lunch program 1 to 2 times per week, mainly because they do not like the food choices that are available to the children. 20% do not buy it all. The K through 6 community represents more than 50% of food service clients, and they will be there to buy lunch every day, as opposed to the students at the high school who have an open campus. There has been a little to no effort to focus at all on a finite stream of revenue, and the board's failure to recognize this as part of the community does in fact matter and should be heard and listened to is extremely surprising. Food services should be willing to make healthy choices, home-cooked meals, encourage the children to learn about the benefits in the foods they eat to make them become healthier eaters. This will make parents happier to buy school lunches and to bring in more money for the food services. The board must consider changes to the school lunch program as a whole and should listen to the voices and look at the numbers of the K through 6 community as well. Thank you for your consideration, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to, thank you for reading that. This is a board that definitely is listening, and we started the conversation at the last meeting, so thank you.
Any other representatives?
No.
Okay, so item 12, questions from visitors.
Good evening. My name is Teresa Petiri. I'm a parent of 2 elementary school children and 1 grade school child. I just had 2 comments. I just wanted to address first the SCOPE program. Mm-hmm. I did have my children attend the SCOPE program, not last year, but the year prior. I pulled them out because...
So that's why I didn't call you.
Well, no, you didn't call me. I said, she didn't call me.
You didn't go back there for
it. I pulled them out only because I did not find sufficient help in the homework area. Okay. And given the demands the state have on the children and being a working parent, it's difficult to come home at 7 p.m. and sit for 3 hours to do homework without killing each other. For real. So I did want to note that for you, that was the only reason why I needed to pull out there. The second thing is I wanted to first thank you, Mrs. Rossi, for really getting involved in the school lunch program. I know there are a lot of folks here and a lot of folks in the district that are making this a priority because the food is just simply stated not good, not edible. I attended the second grade breakfast just a few days ago. The attendance was very, very low, and I did not order any food. I left and got a bagel at the bagel store. I didn't even want my kids to eat the food, but I wanted to be there to enjoy the company of their friends and other families and to support the initiative. So I thank you really for taking us all to the next level, because I know it is a voice, unfortunately, that has been unheard in terms of making changes. So I do thank you for that. My question is, how soon will we be seeing changes implemented into the program?
Well, we'll be sitting down with the gal who runs that program and sharing the suggestions.
Sure.
And putting that team on a path of change.
It seems like, just Mrs. Ross has said it a couple of times, and to coin a phrase, the low-hanging fruit. I mean, there's stuff that
sure.
we can do.
Absolutely.
And, I think she's been clearing the board out, not to speak for the board, but this is obviously something that we want to take a close look at and make as many changes as quickly as we can.
And so many of these little things can be done immediately.
Right.
So, we will be meeting with the team this week. All right, and putting things in place that we can immediately.
Great, thank you.
As well as long-term items as well.
Great, thanks so much.
And please don't be shy. Keep that dialogue open. If you have a concern
that
you think it's being addressed, let Mrs. Rossi know, and we'll follow through on it.
Fantastic, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jody D. I have two children, one in the elementary and one in the grade, and I'm part of the Health and Wellness Committee, and I wanted to thank Mrs. Rossi for coming the other day. And I just had a question. When will the kitchens be renovated? Completed?
You're not, it's not this coming phase, it's the next phase.
And will, when they are completed, is there a part of the completion that will entail cooking food in the kitchens? I know they're state-of-the-art, and they're so amazing.
The answer is yes. We're going to, in terms of the equipment's going to be there to do that. And again, the door's kind of been open for us now, so I think what's going to happen, if I had to guess, you're going to see some changes in the food service, and especially if we renovate the kitchens. Right?
All right. That's what I was wondering, if that was going to be included with renovation.
It seems, again, not to speak for the board, but it would be part and parcel. If you're going to do one, it's probably a good idea to do the other as well, right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
School districts that are having such a surplus in their school lunch programs that it seems like we're wasting so much time. My question, why I asked about item number 5 on the agenda, I estimated approximately $10,000 was spent on stipends. Not nearly the focus on that. And yet the school lunch program, I sat at the meeting the other day. Apparently, there was approximately a 40% reduction in staff. Am I correct about that? I think you said, Mr. Dr. Daly, I think there were 15 and it's down to about 9. Was that about right? Apparently, they renegotiated their contract, and it was a meager increase at best. So the people are working almost twice as much, not getting as much. They're not serving a product. They're not serving a product that's saleable by some of the admission of people here. I don't have children in the school, so I'm just going by what I hear from the community. And yet we go on and on and on about a lousy $38,000. It seems absurd. Absolutely absurd. It's less than 0.1% of the budget. And yet, meanwhile, stipends. This goes on, that goes on. And they have an open campus. Dr. Daly also mentioned, apparently, correct me if I'm wrong, the businesses in the village rely on our students going to support them. And we should have an open campus to support the businesses that are paying our salaries. And I don't think you can control that. You can put all the things in place. I don't think it's going to change anything. You say, oh, we're going to have new kitchens. Oh, we're going to offer... Fresh fruit spoils quicker, fresh vegetables, and I'm not saying whether or not it's good or bad. I'm not the logistics of it. A new restaurant opens, I think the failure rate for a new restaurant within a year is pretty high. So putting new equipment, putting this in place, putting that in place, doesn't guarantee that you're going to generate revenue. And from what I've said and from what I've listened to, I don't see how you could possibly do it. I really don't. I mean, realistically, how could you possibly generate any revenue? I mean, that's like sending people up against a well-trained army with water pistols and slingshots. I mean, it just seems absurd. And it seems that we're wasting an awful lot of time for a lousy bit of money. I mean, really, it seems absurd. I think we ought to refocus. And maybe instead of focusing on really minor stuff here, as far as I'm concerned, from a financial aspect, I think we should spend more time investigating things that are going to be more profitable and more of a savings to the district. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mary Schubart. I have kids spread across all three buildings. One I thought of last week or last time we met with regard to the school lunches, not to belabor it, but is it still true that buyers and bringers are segregated in the K through 2 building?
Yes.
So I know at home I didn't want to trust my 6-year-old, but I think that some decisions about whether or not you buy or bring is dependent upon whether your friend buys or brings. And I can't promise that that would be an income generator. Mm-hmm. But my kids will suffer through not a great lunch so that they can sit with their friend opposed to being able to move around. So maybe some ability to be flexible with the buying and the bringing and where kids sit would be helpful. And I think that's actually would be a positive thing beyond the whole lunch health and wellness program, just giving kids the ability to sit where they want to sit, within their own classes, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be a buyer to sit with your friend who's also a buyer. Some kids have allergies, so they can only bring, so that means unless you bring, you'll never sit with your friend. Another issue I wanted to bring up was the library here. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that the library is effectively off limits once the last bell goes off at the end of the day. And I think that for the kids who are the most academically minded, meaning that they have very full schedules and no breaks in the day, they can't get into the library. Because by the time their classes are over, it's shut down. I think for sometimes various reasons, group studies, group projects seem to be more the way the kids are going with the change of the curriculum. There's more collaborative kind of assignments. It would be great if they could meet. I know the classrooms are off limits. From a technology standpoint, the ability to come here and get onto a computer would be fantastic. Somebody who might have had a lab 6th or 7th period might like to be able to kind of complete that lab at the end of the day within the building, as opposed to going home and dealing with sometimes what can be some technology challenges.
So is it going to keep the library open for another hour or something like that?
Exactly. Not much longer. An hour would be great. I know that comes with problems. Kids are just looking to hang out, and maybe that's always a challenge. I can appreciate that. And then related to the library secondarily, my understanding is that the signing in process is a little onerous. That it's a computer sign-in, the computer can be down, you could be wasting 5, 6, 7 minutes just to get the ability to be able to plant your seat, your butt into a chair to get some work done, and that discourages kids from coming into the library during the course of the day. Okay, so I don't know if that could be looked at.
Definitely. Thank you. Yes.
Lastly, and this is really just a general plea, it would be great if we could see some more AP courses offered here. I know that with budget cuts, it's very, very difficult. And I know that we have a declining enrollment. I've done my share too. Whatever. It would be great if we could see some of these AP courses be developed here. And my only thinking is that with the budget challenges that the district faces, perhaps there's a way to take some of the courses and offer them as a full course in lieu of the introductory course.
So AP Physics in lieu of physics for the kids that want to do that. AP Psychology, bring that back in lieu of Introduction to Psychology. And that might entail paying a teacher a couple extra weeks, I don't know, a couple days before class start in September. Testing seems to be this oasis where there's nothing happening except studying for a very extended period of time. Maybe there's a way to bring teachers, make them available for extra study time in the building. You know, maybe as a sort of introduction to the coursework that will be coming in September, kind of get their feet wet, get them introduced into the material a little bit, give them their reading assignments for the summer, just a thought. Because I do see, my husband and I have seriously considered whether or not we should be here. Given what my oldest child sees going on in another district, she feels extraordinarily stressed about, we don't have this, we don't have this, we don't have this. I'm in the process of looking at AP Music Theory online with a cost of thousands of dollars, and then having to figure out how to structure that coursework within her regular day here next year so that she has the opportunity to take that course. I realize not many kids would want to take AP Music Theory, but certainly other courses would be more general interest. So, and lastly, I just wanted to thank you, Mrs. Rossi, because you've been, we've never really met, but you seem to be a very positive, cordial, present in everything kind of person, and I appreciate the degree to which you seem to be willing to listen and to also participate.
Well, I appreciate that. Some of the things you've mentioned tonight, you know, bringing AP and we've done a lot of work already with the high school team, right, with Mr. D'Amico, AP Capstone for next year, Project Lead the Way, which is an engineering pathway. You're preaching to the choir up here now, so I thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Any other questions from visitors?
Robin Sylvester, VPR from the District 28 Village Landerwood. Can we get an update on where we stand with the transportation consultants? There had been talk of a second district bus in district being eliminated once we got into the school year.
I'll tell you, yep, exactly.
And if the what progress has been made in terms of working with other districts for students going out of district for cost savings.
Okay. So Mr. Robertson is in phase two of his study with transportation. He has examined all of the headcounts from the months of September and October and a little portion of November. He is right now in the process of, rather than deducting a bus, but adding possible, he's coming back to us with a recommendation in January as to adding a few stops to hopefully increase ridership before we just yank out a bus. We want to try that first. So that's the answer to that, where he is right now, okay? Also, when he is looking into shared riderships with other districts, I do know that he's spending this month calling around to other people that he knows in surrounding districts that could have a ride going to the same school to see and generate if there would be interest. So he's coming back in January and at that January meeting to speak with the board as to where he is in that phase.
Okay. I know Dom used to refer to it as low-hanging fruit. I know there's a board policy that stipulates at the grade school in particular, there are two very entry points, one for sixth graders and one for fourth graders. And it would be merely a changing of a board policy to standardize the entrance to be the main front door that might allow, without any big changes, more students to get on the bus on the east and western sides of the school. Mm-hmm. If the right now you have the third grade door where the kids get picked up, and for kids who live on the west side of the east side of the school, whether you're in third or fourth grade or not, that's considered your drop-off point. And there's an alternate door on the other side of the school. So if you live on the west side of the school, your pickup or drop-off point is considered there, whether you're in fifth or sixth grade or not, regardless of whether you're actually in third grade, you go to the third grade door. By standardizing that central point to where the buses actually drop off at the school, you could incorporate, maybe it's not a lot, maybe it's 20 more kids. Mm-hmm. But that would be 20 more kids to fill the empty seats on our buses.
I have to look at that policy. That also is a decision that has to be made by the building principal with his weigh-in on that.
Mm-hmm.
because it's his
it
building.
It wouldn't affect the buildings in any way. It would be just changing the board policy to determine how the who qualifies for the bus.
Yeah, but it's also dismissal of kids and routines and procedures and organizations. So
now you're not understanding the people who use those doors don't get on the bus anyway. So for example, if you live on the east side of the building on Siegel, the distance to the third and fourth grade door is less than three quarters of a mile. But if the distance was calculated to the main entrance, it might be 8/10 of a mile, which would qualify.
Oh, so you're talking about ridership?
Yes.
I missed. Okay, I see what you're saying.
I don't know if Mr. Robertson is looking at that or if the board has considered that. That's one of those low-hanging fruit things that could be easily fixed with a board resolution to simply standardize the entrance point, the pickup drop-off points.
For ridership purposes.
That would make it consistent for the building.
Would make it consistent for the building and would allow just a few more kids to get on the bus. I mean, if you've seen the buses around town, we definitely still have space on the buses.
Thank you. Okay. Sorry. I got it now.
Got it. Okay.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 13. Future board meetings. We'll be meeting again on Monday, December 23rd at 7:30.
I'm sorry. 21st.
Is that typo there?
December 21st.
Okay. Oh, you don't want to do it the 23rd?
No. I thought you'd cancel.
Oh, do we have a topic for that? No. Okay. So, do I have a motion to adjourn? Mr. Benzinger, Mr. Montalto, all those in favor? Thank you for coming.
Thank you, everybody. Me. Oh, you